This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, 877-881-1053, Franklin, Franklin Injury Attorney text line. If you want to get involved in the show or hit us up on the Twitch or the YouTube, time to talk some more baseball. So this is from, I believe it's an article on MLB.com that kind of inspired part of this conversation. The 12 must-watch pitchers in spring training. And the Rangers, who do you think is the most-watched pitcher in spring training? This specific spring training.
I'll go with Roky Suzuki.
Yep, Roky Suzuki, number one.
Shohei
is an honorable mention because they're like, or a wild card, because they're like, I don't think it's going to happen, but maybe.
Oh, that's right, because they think he's going to maybe pitch more mid-May-ish.
Yeah. Jake DeGrom.
So... we'll get to him.
All right.
Because Sasaki's one, Paul Skeens is two, Max Fried is three. But then four and five are both Rangers.
Lighter.
Jacob DeGrom.
Rocker.
And Rocker. Kamar Rocker.
Yeah, I meant Rocker.
So, I mean, I liked your enthusiasm for Lighter,
I meant
though.
To say Rocker.
I was digging
though.
A little bit into some Jack Lighter stuff after getting kind of an inside edge education yesterday. Yeah. And it was just, it's interesting on... if you look at some numbers, he looks very fixable, if okay. That makes sense. One, he gets hit pretty hard first pitch. If they swing first pitch, it's like over 900 OPS.
Okay.
So can I make a better first pitch strike?
Yep.
When he gets behind in the count, he gets killed. So one, if I throw that first pitch down the middle, they seem to hurt me bad. And I'm talking about Jack Lighter here. If he ends up getting behind in the count 2-0, 3-1, I'd have to go back and look. It was like a 400 something batting average. So one, can I make a better first pitch where when they make contact in play, I have a much better, let's say below 200 batting average when they put the ball in play. And then two, can I get ahead in the count a little bit more? Now he wasn't great with nobody on base, but he was not really good at all with runners on base for the most part. I was looking at his times to home. It's 1.28 when he starts his delivery with a runner on base, getting the ball once the catcher hits the mitt. The league average is 1.4. This is only a wonder. This is like if I was Mike Maddox or I was part of the pitching coaching staff, I would go, hey, is he delivering the ball too quick where he can't deliver a quality pitch? Is he doing such a good job of holding on runners? It's not allowing him to actually throw a quality pitch with runners on base. So I don't know that answer, right? That would be for Mike Maddox and the pitching coordinator and all of those people, Chris Young, to look into and go, 1.28 is fine, but what if we got it to like 1.35?
Yeah.
Would that give him a better ability to really get underneath his legs, have better balance, and throw a better pitch with runners on base? This sounds so simple. It is not. But better first pitch strikes where when you throw it, it's not hit so hard. And then two, hey, are we moving too quick with a runner on base and then it's not allowing you to throw a quality pitch?
Which is interesting because the one, I would have been like, that makes a lot of sense. That one, I would not have identified immediately as like, that's a big part of it. Yeah. That's interesting.
And then I guess the other question is, how much do you want to mess with his mind? I guess spring training is the right time to do it. But how much do you want to mess with what he's thinking when he's on the mound? But that's why this time is allotted for it.
Let me ask you a question about that, because I'm really intrigued by what you just said. How much conversation, in your experience, happens in the off season? Like, I know you get to spring training early and there's a lot of time and we've still got like 6 weeks until the season starts, but how much conversation, whether it's between teammates, between the manager, the GM, whatever, how much conversation happens in December, January with people who are like on the roster already?
Not a lot, but some. Now, what I mean by that is like Rocker and Leiter have been working at Vanderbilt. So they're together, but how much are they sharing stuff? Look, these are two young pitchers trying to find their way as a major league pitcher. But how much is Mike Maddox working with them in the offseason? A little, but not a lot. Just making sure they're staying on their routine. Strength and conditioning coach is making sure he's sending them plans that he would like for them to follow. A lot of guys have their own personal strength and conditioning coach. But you're also sending them information where we'd like for you to be here, be there. But I think for Jacob DeGrom, I'm not 100% sure about this, but I think he spent some time here in Texas in the offseason.
Okay.
Not maybe throwing really competitive bullpens, but throwing a little bit here just to make sure that Mike Maddox and that they kind of had an eye on him, getting him ready to hopefully be a Cy Young candidate this year. But there's a little conversation, there's some, but maybe not as much as you would think, or maybe, I guess in a way, hope, but it's like, it's your time, it's your career, we're here to help, but we're not here to babysit.
I gotcha.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Now, DeGrom's 4, Kamar Rocker is 5. Do you think Kamar Rocker is so high on the list? Like, I get why Jacob DeGrom is so high on the list, because you've seen him be like the flat out best pitcher in the game. Yeah. We haven't seen that for a while. He's coming back from injury. He says he's good to go. It's like Christmas. For Rocker, is it just the excitement and potential from the flashes you saw that you're like, oh man, if that's true, that could be amazing.
What we saw in the regular season last year, that opportunity to go out there in that first outing
in you Seattle. Were
just like, wow, like this dude has out pitches. He's able to do these special things. And then he comes back here and gets a little, you know, gets hit a little bit. But you're like, okay, we've seen that he can do it. So I absolutely think the intrigue is there for that.
And go ahead. I just wanted to add, I don't think I'm speaking out of turn when I say you'd have to go back several years, but when he was pitching in college, he absolutely looked like he could be the number one overall pick.
Yes, especially after his freshman year. Yeah. Even his junior year, he looked really good. There was just a little bit of concern of his health. Obviously, he dropped a little bit in the draft, and then the Mets drafted him and really didn't like his health.
Yep.
Now, that being said, I do know the Rangers, look, they're going to be very optimistic. It's their guy. But the Rangers are like, he's ranked too low on these things. To your point, they're like, look, Paul Skeens has blown everybody out of the water on what he was able to do at LSU his junior year and then what he did in the major leagues last year.
It's unreal to expect anybody else to be that.
And that's what they're saying. But they're like, when Rocker was in college and healthy, he was Skeens-like.
Yep.
Okay. And so they're like, look, they think that they do have a future ace on their hands. They don't,
I would say this,
the Rangers don't think he's going to be an ace this year.
Right.
It's like, hey, we're going to get him. They got to make sure to keep him healthy.
Okay.
So they have to make sure innings don't get overloaded. So they are going to be making sure as the season, I don't know the exact plan. They are going to be making sure when they get to September, they believe that they're going to win this division going into this season. They want Rocker to be able to pitch in September and October. They don't want to get to September and he's pitched really good, but he already has 120 innings going into the month of September. That would scare them going, we need 20 to 30 innings in this month, plus we're hoping to get another 10 to 20 innings out of him in October. So they are going to monitor his innings, but they also are optimistic that you're about to see when Corey brought up Kumar Rocker after his freshman year, right around COVID or the year after COVID, when you brought him up because he was the talk of college baseball, they believe he's back to that guy.
Ooh, that's exciting as hell. Like that really that exciting. The velocity's there. If he can just continue to pitch, you know, continue to be a pitcher. Somebody asked yesterday, Mike, they were like, what's the difference between what y'all are saying, pitching and throwing? And I was like, well, it's, you know, your out pitches, your ability to hit your locations, the ability to get pitcher or hitters situationally. There's so much more than just going up there and throwing a ball off the mound.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of somebody. At times, I think that Jack Leiter became a thrower behind in the count in the major leagues. And boy, you better be able to be Aroldis Chapman with the Cincinnati Reds if you just want to be a thrower.
Yeah. Yes.
They're just too good of hitters to just say 3-1. Here's my fastball, 98, middle of the zone. Well, all right. You're going to be backing up bases or asking for a new baseball. There's two options in this situation. I tried it, and I tried it throwing a lot slower. You usually are backing up bases or asking for another baseball. So you always have to be a pitcher on the mound. I will even say, like, Emmanuel Clase got hammered in the playoffs. He had a 0.6 ERA.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't know if pressure, I don't know what happened to him. But, man, when you become a thrower on the mound and you're not thinking at all and you just think your stuff is going to do it, that's why so many guys throw 95, 97 and never throw one pitch in the major leagues because they never figured out how to pitch. They only got into professional baseball because teams drafted them or gave them money going, man, there's a lot of arm there. Gosh, he does this, and they never learn how to pitch.
I hope this makes sense, or maybe you guys are on the same page as me. I am not excited to see DeGrom throw in spring training whatsoever. I am going to be nervous every time he steps out there because I'm like, this doesn't count, and I'm going to be nervous when he's out there.
He has to, though. Like, this is that opportunity to face live hitters. He has to. He doesn't have to go out there and go all out.
To Kevin's point, I bet 50% of his games are on the backfield. Because let's just say he gets three guys out in six pitches. Well, the inning's over in the real game on the big field. And they will do that, I think, as we get later into spring. But to your point, I bet February, like February 22nd might be the first game for the Rangers in spring training. I bet till March 5th or 6th, his outings are on the backfield because they can be like, we want him to throw 15 pitches no matter what. Now, if he gets to 13 and gets the third out, fine. He gets to 17 and gets the third out, fine. But if he gets to 20 pitches in the first inning, they can just say, switch.
Yeah.
Inning's over.
Yeah.
He throws six pitches and gets three guys out. They're like, another batter. He's not just going to throw six pitches right now.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But I understand you completely being very nervous. Even in the regular season when he takes the mound.
Yes.
Like, there's nothing that says that can make us feel good considering what we've seen the last 2 years.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, absolutely. And it kind of felt like, this is a weird comparison since we're crossing sports, but it kind of felt Anthony Davis-esque when he got here and he was like, hey, I'm ready to try to lift this city up. And I was like, I so badly want to believe that. And I know Jacob does too. Like, you saw all of the emotion when he realized, like, not only was he hurt, but he was really hurt. He was not going to pitch well. Like, you can't fake that level of emotion. And I have no doubt that he wants more than anything to go out there and be like, I'm going to show everybody what I can still do. Mm-hmm. It's just sometimes your body's like, that's great. Yeah. Not going
to
happen.
I'm going to put my cojones on the line here. It could be stupid, but I guess I don't have to deal with it in 2 weeks. I think he's going to stay pretty darn healthy, and he's going to be a top three Cy Young candidate.
And
if he gets hurt at the end of April and can't ever pitch again, you can call me a moron, and I sometimes am anyways. But I do think that you're about to see a very special pitcher for the Texas Rangers.
That 26 starts, 28 starts?
Yeah, I'll say 25-ish.
Okay.
Like 22 to 28.
Okay.
And I know that 22 won't be awesome. That would be missing 10 starts.
Yeah.
I do think they will not have him start over 30 games. No, if he's completely healthy and never says anything's bugging him, they're like, we don't care. You're sitting out this one time through the rotation.
Yeah.
We got to watch how many innings you're throwing.
Does that...
That's a lot of guys on this team, by the way.
Here's a side question. Does that trickle into the playoffs? Like, he gives you a phenomenal, mostly healthy, and the innings are piling up, and he's going to be the first Ranger ever to win the Cy Young. Like, how do you draw the line versus, like, hey, he's awesome in the playoffs. We need him to pitch in the playoffs. And you're like, I don't know. You pitch a lot of innings this year.
Oh, no, he'll pitch. If he's healthy.
So you think no matter
I think he has the Evaldi year.
I hate saying this. This is, if they Steven Strasburg him, remember in 19,
yes,
he was the best pitcher in the playoffs, and then he never pitched a baseball game. I think the Rangers would live with, we've monitored his innings. We know that he's at pretty much his max. We've made the playoffs. We are going to ride DeGrom and Evaldi.
Okay.
And we're going to see if we can win this thing again. Because if we do, I hate saying this, and I don't, and he never pitches again.
It's okay.
I'd be like, I know that was a lot of money for one awesome year of Jacob DeGrom, but if you win another championship because he was healthy and you rode him to game one win, game five win, game three win, game one win, game five win.
Yeah.
Like, dude, he just went 5-0, dominated baseball, and we're there again. We just won another championship. We hope his arm will be okay after this.
Just a quick other thing I want to throw out there. Bruce Bochy won the Roland Hemond Award, which recognized a baseball executive who has demonstrated a lifetime commitment to professional baseball scouts and scouting and player development. So the announcement was made this morning by, and this sounds really important, the National Office of the Society of American Baseball Research. I don't know how important that group is, but they sound important. It sounds really important.
Society makes it sound even more important.
Yeah, I agree with that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we will do some NFL overreaction and Mike likes it, all as part of the Expressway. Next, right here on The Fan.
Here's Mahomes. Four-man rush over the middle, and it's intercepted again. This time it's Zach Baud, and the Eagles are set up inside the 10.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time for some NFL overreaction or reality.
Can I ask the first question?
Yes.
Next year, the Chiefs change their colors to green because Patrick Mahomes was perfect at hitting either the Eagles or the grass.
I'll say.
It's really the turf because they were in New Orleans.
He wore a green suit before the game, too. Ooh, that's even
weirder. Think that was bad luck?
I don't know, man. I thought he was a psychopath for it.
Overreaction or reality? Patrick Mahomes is now a Lakers fan.
That's...
I don't know. I'm just throwing that out.
That could be the case. He said he was sick over this trade. Sick!
I've come to, and I'll talk about it in Mike Likes It, is I'm getting more and more mad. The shock is wearing off, and just pure anger is taking over.
Is there anything in particular that, was it like what Dumont said? Was there anything that
it just
like,
keeps building. Okay. It's just like, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. And the longer it goes, the more I'm believing that they have totally destroyed this franchise.
And you think this was an inside job, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah. Okay. I think this was about the NBA too, making sure the Lakers have for this 11-year, $76 billion contract, the Lakers are relevant.
Now, NFL overreaction or reality, the Eagles would not have won the Super Bowl if they didn't have last season's epic collapse.
Overreaction. I think that was important for them a little bit, but and they probably could have won it last year had they not had that epic collapse in what I thought was inside the locker room.
So, and Sirianni, he did speak to that, and he said, as crazy as this sounds, I'm grateful how last year ended because it shaped us to who we are. And so I'm always fascinated. You can obviously go two very different directions based on that adversity that you hit. You can absolutely crumble and be done for good, or you can do what the Eagles did. What say you, Mike?
I guess so. It's always tough because it could have gone in a totally opposite direction, but they're so freaking talented. And yes, you usually need chemistry and culture, usually. But there have been teams to win championships and have dynasties, not just luckily win one, but win three in a row, with the worst chemistry and worst culture because they were just so much more talented than everybody. Example that I'm thinking in my head is the Oakland Athletics of 71 through 73. They all hated the owner. Reggie Jackson might have not been the most beloved player on the team, but the best young player. Like, you hear things of certain teams and you're like, they didn't like each other. They didn't get along. Yeah. Maybe they had a drunk on the team, supposedly. But they were so talented, they overcame all of those things. So it sounded like they were going to have a culture problem coming into this year. Obviously, they didn't. And they don't have a talent problem.
No.
And that's what overcame maybe that. And then as you keep winning, all of a sudden you get to that right mindset.
NFL overreaction or reality, Patrick Mahomes will not be in the Super Bowl next season. Now, the reason why I say that, and I realize it's everybody against him and the Chiefs, is just because the last time he lost the Super Bowl, he missed the Super Bowl the next year. Then obviously after that, things went really well for him.
Okay, I'll go with you on that, because this is going to be a tough one to recover from for him.
True.
That was a tough season to put himself to put yeah. them through. For one, they played a lot of football in the last 7 years. He's played more football than anybody in the last 7 years. And so, physically, this could be one of those opportunities to go, you know what, I need a refresher, and then let's go chase three again.
Okay.
You know, like that, I could totally see that. But it does seem like that's the kind of guy who, as a psychopath as he is, he wakes up and he goes, I got to go start working hard so I can be better than everybody this year.
So the good bet would be, the other 15 teams. But I will say this. The way Patrick Mahomes answered the questions immediately after the Super Bowl, he didn't Cam Newton it. He said, on me, I was horrible. I got to get better. I got to figure out how to beat these defenses. Yeah. And he was already, just like last year when he said, we won the championship. I'm thinking about next year right now. And I know it ended up almost working out. It didn't. I think when you take the responsibility like he did after that game, as much as we can say, well, he never threw any good passes, and I'm making fun of him. He's my favorite, and he's one of the best I've ever seen. But, man, I love the way he acted after that bad performance, blowout game. So I wouldn't bet against him, but if you're letting me bet and you say, yeah, you want to take 15 teams or the Kansas City Chiefs, I would probably, on an even money bet, take the 15 other teams, but I wouldn't count them out.
Overreaction to reality, Kevin. You might love A.J. Brown.
Oh, I do love.
Because of his mental health approach.
I mean, I forgot to look that book up again. Surely it's back up at number one, right?
Yeah, but in 2021, he shared his personal message on social media about it's okay to talk to someone. I didn't think it was okay. I forgot about this.
That's delightful.
And seeing what he's gone through. And what he went through, because he was contemplating suicide at the time, and he talked to somebody about it and got his help that he needed. Now he's pushing for that. So
you'd be amazed when you talk to people, Corey, and I know you know this, like how not perfect we're all doing.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Oh yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah,
are you?
Man, that's true. I like AJ.
I am. What's y'all's deal?
Okay, I'm just sad that you're leaving.
Yeah.
You're going to cry about it?
I have to talk to my therapist about this.
I mean, maybe.
No, I get it.
All right.
I'm a bag of beans.
NFL, what? NFL overreaction to reality. And I don't quite know how to phrase this one. So I'm going to give it a shot. You know, understand, or agree with any of what Dak Prescott said. Quote, talking about the Eagles winning the Super Bowl. I feel like we've competed with the Eagles and beat them for the most part when we've played them. I don't know what to say. Check the record. When the guys is holding the trophy right now, so credit to them. They've earned it, and they deserve it by all means. But yeah, very close. We go on. Especially even after watching the NFC Championship and those two teams that we battle against every year, a couple times a year. As I said, feel confident that we've gotten the better part each and every time. But just seeing such a dominating fashion, credit to them. It's our turn, and it's on us. As a reminder, they lost the Eagles this year by a combined 75-13.
Yeah, and when he says check the record, he is pointing to the past there, obviously.
He's 9-4 against the Eagles.
He's been very good against them. But look, man, when you're saying, hey, how close are you to this team? It's not beating them in the regular season. It's right. How close are you to the Super Bowl?
Right.
That's what the question was. And he didn't even, I don't know if he just didn't get that part of it. Or like, he just was like, say? Man, the spin monster has to move here. I got to start saying something different.
I like that.
And so I don't like the answer that much because I don't believe any of it. And I don't believe that mentality on it either. He knows what it is, but that it's our turn. There's a lot more than it's just our turn. There's a lot. You got to go out and take it right now. And the Cowboys, they got a lot too much work to do to build a team that has to have that mentality to go take it from somebody.
He's a good talker.
Yeah, he says the right things, which is great. And I would much rather him say all the wrong things and kick ass in the football games that matter.
Yes. Go be amazing. Stay healthy all season. Go be amazing in the playoffs and win a Super Bowl. And then we'll be like, man, not only a great talker, but a Super Bowl champion.
He's not a doer anymore, but maybe Aaron Rodgers was a bad talker, but a great doer.
Yeah, I could see that. By the way, Inner Excellence, only up to number 3 on the Amazon book list. Oh. However, It does say.
You say boo?
Yeah, it's not number one, so boo.
I feel like this should be included in their little
not
blurb.
First or last.
It says the number one New York Times bestseller, 200,000 plus copies sold in 3 weeks. Really just feel like there should be a disclaimer, at least in large, large part to A.J. Brown.
200,000 copies sold. I know that it's in the last 3 weeks and it takes me a long time to read. How many of those books, 200,000, will actually get read somewhat cover to cover? I will say 10%.
Ooh, see, I was going to go 40,000, which would be 20%.
I'll go 15%.
Okay.
All right, let's call them up.
Hold on. Let me ask you a follow-up question.
Follow up each user.
What percentage of the books that you own,
not
necessarily this is just in your house, but like you played a hand in getting that book to your house.
Oh, so not my wife's doctor's books?
No. No.
I don't know those words.
Have you read?
All of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Except
that is impressive.
I am only 7 or 8 chapters deep into Ready Player Two.
But you're reading.
But I am reading. I've been reading it for 2 years now. But that is, I have every book that's in our house, I have read at least.
Well, not including my wife's books, right? That's,
Correct.
Reading.
The books you're responsible for.
Do y'all have a whole room for doctor's books?
No, but she has.
I mean, that would make sense, though.
She usually has them at her office. She has some at home, but she usually has them in her office. So when there's something that comes up, it's funny watching the show The Pit on Max, which she really likes. It's entertaining, too, because she's like, if you want to know what an ER really is from a doctor's perspective, The Pit on Max gives you a
That's what I've heard.
Much better deal. She's already diagnosing, like as they're saying it, she's diagnosing the patients
because awesome.
She knows all that crap. But
I'm glad she knows all that crap.
25%.
25% of those books?
I would say I've read the whole book.
What's really lowered my percentage is that Jess has gotten us a lot of books about like marriage and stuff that
you haven't read any of those
books? No, not really.
Why not?
It's not about Star Wars or a wrestler.
Did you read What to Expect When Expecting?
No.
I read it. I was so ready whenever Avery was here.
When you accidentally, did she get one called that you'd read for Star Wars when you accidentally make out with your brother and didn't know it was your brother?
Except later on you say that you knew all along.
Yeah.
Like that is kind of confusing.
Yeah.
But anyways.
You can always, my buddy Rick just texted me, hey, you can always audible it, you know, just listen to it.
Is,
but I spend my time reading and listening to the fan.
I might go up on that. If it's audible, I might go up to like 40%.
Yeah, I've listened to some books before.
I know we mentioned earlier that he said he's going to take his time. He's going to think about it. Overreaction or reality, Travis Kelce is done playing NFL football.
Overreaction.
Ooh, okay.
He's playing another year.
I'm with Mike, but he was bad in this game. Like he was not, this was probably his worst personal game that I've seen him play.
It was pretty tough.
Like just watching his blocking, just watching him come off the ball, everything just looked poor. And so the lifestyle that he can live with Taylor just seems so much easier and more relaxing and
for
fun.
Sure.
You don't have to damage your body anymore.
Taylor dumps him for Dallas Goedert the second he retires.
What?
She goes Philly style.
Okay. Goes for Dallas Goedert.
Yeah. He's now the new tight end champion.
Okay. Do you think they're going to get married?
Taylor's never getting married.
Okay. Oh.
He has a girlfriend. Dallas Goedert has a girlfriend.
Well, but watch
she's
out,
not
girlfriend.
A billionaire. All right.
He's pretty.
NFL overreaction or reality. The Eagles will be in multiple Super Bowls. In the next 4 years.
Hey!
No.
Stop. What was your question?
Sports.
He just threw me off. There'll be multiple Super Bowls.
There'll be in another Super Bowl in the next 2 years.
Multiple Super Bowls in the next 4 years.
Overreaction.
Is that what you said?
Yeah, it is what I said.
Overreaction, because teams are going to build to trying to stop them.
Okay.
And as good as they are right now, teams are going to try and do that quickly, and somebody's going to be successful in that. Injuries happen. Like, it's just, there's too many other things, other variables that'll keep it from happening. So, one, I can see. Multiple, I'm going to say overreaction.
I'm with you.
Did you really lose sight of what my question was because you said two whole letters out loud?
Yep.
Okay.
Dude, he said the E and it threw me off.
G!
Stop it.
L-E-S.
Are you sure?
Yeah, positive.
Okay. All right.
E-L.
All right.
It's not a hard word to spell.
I know. Really? I agree.
There's plenty of words I can't spell.
You also say overreaction?
Yeah, I think they're going to make one in the next 2 to 3 years. It's tough to just keep doing it and make the Super Bowl. They could. They obviously have talent to be successful for the next 3 years, but crap happens.
Crap does happen.
And not the Cowboys aren't going to take
Somebody
it.
They should make that into a bumper sticker.
They get 4 free wins for the next year. It's called the Cowboys and the Giants.
Do I need to read you that Dak Prescott quote again?
Yeah. Dak talks.
But not to us.
NFL. Bumper stickers still a thing? Like, do people?
Yeah.
They're hot
usually
commodity?
The bumper stickers I see are like still political ones, though.
We need more Tolo bumper stickers.
I agree.
More of those. Oh, by the way, they're doing pitcher PFPs right now in Surprise.
Pitcher fielding practice. Mm-hmm. Let's go. NFL overreaction or reality? Corey, I'm going to start with you on this one.
All right. I'll try and listen.
Thank you. Feels like the bare minimum, but NFL overreaction or reality. T. Higgins will be back with the Bengals. So Joe Burrow has been very adamant, whether it's Higgins, Chase, Hendrickson, they're like, hey, we got money. Let's keep this team together. But what the Bengals like to do is not spend money. So overreaction or reality, T. Higgins will be back with the Bengals.
Well, he also went through like the structure of the cap and all that. But then what did he say? The Eagles are spending money. So
yes.
that's the one, Kevin. I think he's going to convince the Bengals to spend money and keep T. Higgins around. I'm going to say reality.
Okay. Now, Mike, did you hear any of that question?
Heard all of it. Long question.
What?
You asked a short question and then started commenting a lot and then asked the question again. I will say he's a Washington.
Okay. Washington, in case you wanted to know, they are second in the betting odds. If T. Higgins does leave the Bengals, which I know you said not, that's not your pick. The Denver Broncos are first in betting odds, followed by the Commanders, Steelers, Chargers, and Patriots.
As good as Cortland Sutton was this year, him and Bo Nix had a really good rapport this year. This was Sutton's best year.
Yeah.
You know, like T. Higgins can produce that as long as he's healthy every year. So that would be, and you know, the thing about it though is it always seems like Sean Payton is one of those guys like, I'll find a receiver. I'll find a Marcus Colston somewhere.
So they're only seventh on the list, but how big of an impact do you think T. Higgins to the Bills would be?
Man. It would be a clutch receiver when he needs it the most.
Yeah.
And like he had a couple of really good players for him, you know. So I think it would be a fantastic option for him. But they still have to, you know, come up with big defensive plays when they need them the most too. I think that'd be a great option.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I couldn't tell, Mike. It looked like you had something else to say.
No, I don't.
Right now.
Oh no.
It's time for Mike Likes It. I know you're ready for this. I know what your topic is.
Gosh darn it. All right. Take a load off, Kevin. All right. This is it, man. I'm down to my last 10.
Have to say that every time?
I think it's a good countdown.
Okay.
By the way, our show will continue to be on air. So it's not like the show just
not
ends.
Not this show.
It's not the final 10 shows.
I have no clue what you guys are going to do during commercial breaks. It's just going to be silence. You guys are going to prepare for the next segment. It's going to be horrible.
I'm not going to have to answer a question of, so do you think it will be 28 or 2030 when the Mavericks move to the lake, to the Las Vegas? I won't have to answer that question.
I'll help you out. 2028, they still have a lease at the American Airlines Center. They can't.
Nobody can ever break.
After 2030, they can and will.
Okay.
Unless we get gambling pass, which I hope we don't. I will vote no for that. I asked this question on the X. Who has Mavericks season tickets and have sold this game tonight, right? Do they play Golden State tonight?
I believe that is correct.
Or just not going. Now, I don't know if these are season ticket holders. I can't prove they're season ticket holders. But I got a lot of responses here. It says I have 38 replies, which I think is pretty good. Deal with it. Here is one person who said this. I've sold or listed for sale every game I have left, except for the 4-9 game against the Lakers. Still deciding on that one. So the April 9th game is the one they're deciding on. It says, this is from, it says First Take, not First Take, the whatever ESPN show, but it says, I have season tickets, but I'm going on the baseline by the Mavs bench. Last game I'm going to this season. Just want to see Curry and Jimmy. So they're going to watch Golden State.
The other team, yeah.
It says $30 get-in price, so this might not be a season ticket holder. It says, I'll never pay that for this team. Actually, I'll never go again. Even if they fire Nico, it's too late. I do think this. If they fire Nico, a lot of Mavs fans want Nico fired. I don't. It doesn't matter. He already made anything. The trade. It's not going to bring Luka back. It's over.
Yeah.
Derek Holland just texted and he says, I'm going because I want to see Curry and Butler as well. So it says,
Dutch is also in our Twitch right now with everybody. Okay. So if you want to jump in.
Oh, that's neat.
Had tickets for tomorrow and gave them away. Never been so done with this franchise. This is from another one. I have four tickets listed for the next four games. All under face value and none have sold, including tonight. And I have first row in my section. They were selling like hotcakes before the trade. Haven't decided if I should cancel for next season yet. JD here says me, have season tickets, not going today or tomorrow. I guess they play back to back. I honestly don't even know their schedule. This guy says gave mine away to a friend. I have season tickets. I'm trying to get rid of them. I'm going to see Steph. Lowest prices I've seen in years for a big matchup like the Warriors. Crazy how fast this franchise has plummeted. Those are just some. There's more to go through. I'll stop reading now. And just what's y'all's response to my question? I can't prove they're season ticket holders.
Yeah.
That most Maverick fans are done with this. They might be going tonight for Curry, and then Jimmy Butler is now on the Warriors, but they're done with the Mavs this year and deciding or already done with the Mavs next year.
I promise I am going to answer your question. I would love to see like what their season ticket retention rate was at this point last year and then what it is right now, and then I would also love to know how many people went for the refund. But I have no doubt that, like, you're right, Mike. You said it earlier that you're getting madder. I'm not saying everyone is getting madder, but this feeling doesn't seem like it's going away from the Metroplex, especially since you just saw Luka debut with the Lakers. So I'm willing to wager they take a huge hit on season ticket sales.
Yeah, I can't imagine being somebody that's trying to convince people to stay around or to buy next year's tickets, you know, like in that seat.
Do you feel bad for those salespeople?
I feel
they didn't make the trade,
and I bet a bunch of them don't support it. You know, because
I'll say I talked to somebody who's somewhat part of the Mavs organization yesterday, and they said it's never been more demoralizing in the history that he's been around. He said everybody just kind of has to take it, you just. Optimism or lack of optimism, like the lack of optimism is at all time heights, just total demoralization in that organization. And there's nothing they can do. They have to be like, it's their job. They do their job. And they're just not really talking about the situation they've been put in. It's the situation they're in with this job. They just have to go about it. And deal with the repercussions if they want to keep the job. Here's like another one. Season ticket holder for over 20 years. We have no desire to go, and the tickets aren't selling. Not even for the Warriors. I just dropped the price for a third time. So I guess if you do want to go see Steph Curry, it will be like if your son or daughter or is a big Steph Curry fan, it's always been double the price or triple the price to go see the Warriors for the most part while Steph Curry is healthy and playing. Steph Curry is healthy and playing tonight. This might be your one chance to go for maybe 50% off the face value of the ticket.
And that's, I know you've referenced, when you referenced the 90s Mavericks, this is the exact same thing. Which player do you want to see? Because we'll have cheap tickets.
Lucius Harris.
Well, yes. I meant more.
I remember going to see his, it was either, I think it was his second year because there was a strike shortened season. I was so pumped got tickets for like, no, it's 1999, 2000. Got tickets to see Vince Carter for like $25, like 10 rows away from the bench.
You know, I was excited too. I loved watching Vince Carter. Even if he wasn't Vinsanity anymore.
Yeah, and I wasn't rooting for him, but the Mavericks were horrible. Yes. You know, you could see a little bit of signs of, to be honest, I was like, thank God we got Howard Eisley because this Steve Nash guy sucks. but obviously he ended up being awesome. But they that's did. Like 99, 2000. Like, people that weren't around don't know. It was the first year and a half of Dirk and Nash. There was some optimism in year two, but still it was more Dirk and less Nash optimism. You're still kind of like, I don't think this Nash dude's a starting player in the league. At best, he's a backup. And then the 2000-2001 season happened. Howard Eisley was his backup. We thought it was going to be a 50-50 split going into that year. And Steve Nash ran away with that job. Howard Eisley kind of stunk for the Mavs. And that's when you're like, whoa, wait a second. So this Dirk guy's coming along as a future superstar, possibly. Now Steve Nash looks like an above-average starting point guard, and Michael Finley's a really good player. That's when it all started to come together. That's the beginning of the Mavs actually being good in basketball. Diehard Mavs fan. This is from, I won't say his name. I don't know if they want their name out, so I won't say it. But it says, diehard Mavs fan since the day they arrived. I'm done with them. I was already, I'll say ticked, about Cuban stopping the national anthem, thinking he's some kind of noble trendsender. I'm reading it, but yeah, I'm not agreeing or disagreeing with that. But this is the last straw. Idiots, no more tickets, no more merch, nail in the coffin.
Wow.
I just keep thinking to myself, this had to be intentional. They have to know they're intentionally destroying this franchise. And
so
then
you don't
I think,
buy the idea that Nico's like, I had no idea people would be this mad.
I just don't think he's that stupid.
Okay.
I don't think Patrick Dumont is that stupid. Yeah. Maybe they are. Maybe I'm not giving them enough credit for being that dumb.
Yeah, maybe they had zero
I don't think Jerry,
clue.
Like when I make fun of Jerry and get mad at Jerry for destroying my love of the Dallas Cowboys, it's not because I think he's really that dumb. I think he's actually smart enough to know how to do it right. He just refuses to do it right because he knows it's just an opportunity to win, not it will happen. So he's like, screw it. I would rather live the life that I'm living the way I'm doing it, knowing it's going to fail, but knowing I don't have time for a bad time. And this is a really good time the way I do it my way. And I think for these two guys that made this major decision to destroy a franchise, there has to be more behind it. Why would you do this? You're losing 30% probably of your tickets for next year. And I kind of know this. I don't want to say I know this. I know the Rangers are taking advantage of this.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how much the Cowboys and Stars are. I don't know. But I do know that money's moving from the Dallas Mavericks organization to at least one of the teams and possibly the two other teams in this Metroplex. It's gone. And I don't know if they care because they have $33 billion.
Somebody just texted me. I have a 10-game plan. Had it for at least the 15 years with my best friend. Their ticket rep said most people haven't canceled yet, but they're basically selling the fact that they got AD and hoping that holds people off. Then AD got hurt.
Yeah.
And they haven't heard anything from the ticket rep since then. So it's like, hey, we're trying to sell you this. Like, and again, we as a fan base and on air as fans, whenever we were talking about it last week and when it all happened, it was, this is frustrating. And we never got into, man, Anthony Davis is really that great, right? He's a really good player, a very good player. Because we always had the caveat, but he's always hurt.
Right.
It was always the you knew and he's hurt right now. How are they going to sell that? And that seems to be their approach. And now they're like, crap. I think once he got hurt again, facepalm across the map.
I see Michael Sullivan here on YouTube. He says the Mavs were struggling with Luka too. And so let's just lay out the facts. They were 5-7 to start the year. Horrible start. Luka faked an injury because he was out of shape and wasn't into basketball. He was kind of tired of basketball. He played for Slovenia a little bit, tried to get into the Olympics. It didn't happen. He sat, got fat, and was having a horrible start to the year. The Mavs were horrible. Then I believe they went 4-1 while he sat out to try to get in a little bit better shape and then get his mind right to play basketball this year. They were 19-10 going into Christmas Day game. So from 5-7, the simple math is they were 14-3 from that horrible Utah loss. I won't say everybody. I'll give you my opinion. At that point, going into Christmas, I thought, I think Oklahoma City, it's their year in the West, but Dallas is the team that I think could beat them because Luka. That's what I was thinking at that point. Luka got off to a tremendous start on Christmas Day. He was having a great game. His calf got hurt. They lost 19-11. So it's really tough to say they were struggling with Luka. They did struggle to start the year, and he was fat and out of shape and didn't care about basketball.
Yeah.
And then he kind of got in better shape, and they went 14-3. And four of those wins were without Luka. One of those losses was without Luka. So you got to give the other guys a lot of credit for how they played when Luka decided he didn't like basketball to start this year. That stunk that he didn't like basketball this year and was fat and out of shape. But when he came back, they were, I won't say unstoppable, but they were one of the best teams in the NBA. So it's kind of tough to say they were struggling with Luka too.
Do you think that's going to happen again for Luka, that he's going to be like, eh?
I'll say yes. Just like when you ask me the opposite about Patrick Mahomes being great again, I say yes, because I've seen him be great too many times to go, no, this is who he is now. He's an average quarterback. Or I'll go with, no, Luka loves eating. He loves drinking. I don't want to say he loves being out of shape, but he does not care that much to be in shape. But I do think he has that Shaq mentality of, hey, I don't care about the 82. I'll get my 30, 10, and 10 for the most part. And then come playoff time, I'm going to try to destroy everybody. And I hope the refs don't upset me, because I will lose control of my emotions and F up the whole thing. But like, that's the positive negative of Luka. The positives way outweigh the negatives.
Mm-hmm.
There are negatives with Luka that you probably don't have to deal with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You don't have to deal with Anthony Edwards. But when he's right, those guys aren't better than Luka Doncic.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block, starring Corey Majors.
Is your favorite DFW team the Blueprint? We'll do it next on The Fan.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.